If you look behind me and above me, you will see the OCBF stained glass mural. I'm often asked by visitors who come in, what does that mean? On numbers of occasions, we have printed its meaning for you, but for those who may not know, let me give you the theology behind the stained glass. You see at the top a light coming down from heaven, signifying the powerful, life-giving presence of the invisible God, penetrating a dark world with the goal of reconciling it to himself. The crown refers to the lordship of Jesus Christ, circling the earth, for he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The red cross coming down, of course, typifies his work of redemption, which is the foundation upon which the church is built. As we, his church, learn of his work and submit to his lordship, underneath there's the banner. It simply says, preach the word. Because it is through his word that we discover his expectations. We hear his demands, for he is the final authority governing his church. You see wings spread out. That's the hovering presence of the dove. The dove is typified as the Holy Spirit in Scripture, as he gives command of the angelic host to provide guidance and protection for God's people as we disseminate his truth to those around us in need, typified by the city in the background. The result of God's life and God's light reflected in Christ by the Holy Spirit through the church, all is designed to bring about new life. The new life is represented by the expanding, descending green color. Green giving the presence of the seasonal change of life-giving vitality. You see, the mural is simply designed to be a visual reflection of the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship mission statement, which is discipling the church to impact the world. That as we, God's people, are transformed, we are to be agents of transformation to the world where God has placed us. As I thought about our mural, as I thought about our vision, I thought about Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel has a vision. It is an eschatological vision, a vision of the eschaton. It is a vision of the future. God allows him to see a day when there will be water flowing from the temple, bringing life to the Dead Sea. Oh, I wish all of you, before you die, get to go to Israel. In the city of Jerusalem, there is a place for the temple where it was occupied in the Old Testament. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on planet Earth. There is no lower inhabited place on planet Earth than the Dead Sea. Ezekiel's vision is that one day God is going to restore his temple, and that the life of God flowing from his house, his temple, will flow down to the Dead Sea, and that place where no life can live, which is full of salt, which is death incarnate, will live again. That's his vision. You see this vision fulfilled in the book of Revelation, where we see this crystal sea, we're told in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, crystal sea flowing from the throne of God, bringing life and healing to the nations. Where dead things are, when this water flows from the house of God, things begin to live again. The vision that Ezekiel saw of the temple being restored, life flowing down, and dead things living again is the vision of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Because you see, the church has been established to model the kingdom of God. As Jesus put it in his prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven." We cannot replicate what will happen in Ezekiel, for that will happen under the direct authority of Jesus Christ. But what God has called us to do is model what is happening in Ezekiel. The question is, well, what's happening in Ezekiel that we're supposed to model as the family of God today? Ezekiel said, "I was brought to the house, the temple, the place of worship." And he says in verse 1, water was flowing out of the house toward the east. Say, toward the east. Now, one of the rules of Bible study is observe repetition. Repetition always means significance. Whenever something is repeated in close proximity to one another, it means stop, pause, have a Selah moment. Because something significant is coming down the pike. In verse 2, he says that faces the east. In verse 3, he says toward the east. In verse 8, he says the water flowed toward the eastern region. Wherever you see an emphasis on the east in the Old Testament, the east always represented movement away from God. When God told them to scatter in the book of Genesis, it says Nimrod gathered the whole world and went eastward. He went away from God. Genesis 11, verse 1. So when you hear going east, you hear going away from God. You and I today live in a world that's gone east. It's gone away from God. The philosophical terminology that's been given to this eastward movement is called postmodernism. Postmodernism is reflective of an attitude that has dismissed God, that says God is nice, he's just not necessary. God is okay, but he is no longer relevant. We have science now, we have technology now, and so our contemporary world has said, go east, young man, go east. Get an education, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Go east, young man. Give a nod to God on Sunday if you must. Say prayers before you have dinner. That's okay. Just go east, young man, go east. God is nice, but he's not necessary. It reminds me of the postmodern scientist who said, God, if you're there, I just want you to know we don't really need you anymore. I mean, look at what we can do. In fact, we have gotten so good, God, that we can now create life and clone life. We can take DNA, blueprint it out. We can replicate you, God. You're nice, but you're no longer necessary. A voice came out of heaven and said, is that so? Yeah, that's so. Well, we appreciate you every now and then. We'll give you your props, but you're not necessary. We can create life. Why do we need you? The voice said, well, let me see you do that. Scientist said, okay, and reached down to the dirt and began to collect dirt in order to make life. The voice from heaven said, get your own dirt. God is nice today in postmodernism, but he is not necessary, and we live in a world that's gone east. But Ezekiel said, when he took me to the house, the temple, the place of worship, in the age of grace, it's called the church, he says, I saw water flowing from underneath the altar, the place of worship, the place of sacrifice, and it was going through every door, flowing out from the sanctuary. Now, in order for water to flow out, water has to first be in. The use of water in Scripture refers to the giving of life. And the giving of life is connected to the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit hoovered over the waters, Genesis 1. Jesus says to the one who comes to me, John 7, he shall have a well of water springing up in his heart. And it says, and to this he was referring to the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, the Spirit gives life. So for there to be water flowing out of the sanctuary, that meant there had to be life inside of the sanctuary. Which means, if you're gonna help those who've gone east, you have to be alive yourself first. How can we have all these churches on all these corners with all these members and all these preachers and all these programs and still have all this mess? There's a problem. There's no water in the sanctuary. If you want to have transformation in society, you've got to first have disciples in the sanctuary. You got to have water that can flow out, because water has filled in. And in order to have water, you must have the full working of the Spirit's way in the life of the family of God. How can water flow down the street if it can't even flow down the aisle? The challenge today in the vision of our ministry, in the vision of our church, is to develop a congregation that is full of the Spirit of God, because when you're full of the Spirit of God, you're full of water. You're full of life. If Jesus isn't the answer in here among those who know him, he can't be the answer out there to those who don't. If God is a 90-pound weakling in here, he's anemic out there. If there is no food in here, they're going to be starving out there. He says the water flowed from the sanctuary. In order for electricity to illuminate a dark room, the bulb must be filled first. In order for light to fill a dark room, the bulb must get full of electricity so that it can light up everywhere around it. The role of the church is to bring life to the society, but it first must experience that life itself. Then why is it that we don't seem to be experiencing that life? Because while the world has gone eastward, the church has followed it in that direction. See, we don't just have eastward sinners, we got eastward saints. We got saints who give maybe a little longer nod to God. Maybe saints who give a nod to God a little more often. but they still carry a postmodern mentality. Last week, I took a few days away to begin working on the sermons that I'm going to preach this fall so I can get ahead of the game. There's so much activity, so many things going on here that it's hard in the midst of it to get ahead, and you don't want to get behind. And as I was contemplating what I was going to preach in September and beginning the process of working through that, I think the direction the Spirit of God is leading me is to address the topic of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's all about the crown. You see, the reason why the church is so anemic, generally speaking, is that we do not have sufficient amount of Christians who've submitted themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Far too many Christians are like drivers who have spare tires in the back. Everybody here has a spare tire in the back. It's there in case of emergencies. If one of your tires goes flat, it's there. You keep it close enough just in case, but you don't spend much time thinking about it because you don't need it yet. But when a tire goes flat, then all of a sudden the spare becomes very important. You don't want to be stuck out on a dark road with a flat tire, so let's keep a spare in case. A lot of us have spare God in the trunk of our lives, so that when life goes flat, I have somebody to go to, but as long as life is not flat, it's nice he's there. It's just not necessary. The Lordship of Jesus Christ, the crown, is what gives water in the sanctuary, because to be full of the Spirit is to be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it starts in the house of God. It starts at the altar. We call it here at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship discipling the church. A disciple is someone who brings all of life into the conformity to Jesus Christ. He said the water flowed from underneath the altar, and guess where it went? It went east. If it went east, that means that the church is, or the temple was, west of the flow. Because to go west, or to be west, was to be where God was. To go east was to go away from God. But how can it flow east if you're already east? The life-giving presence of God, the life-giving power of His Spirit was to flow. Life was to flow from the sanctuary. Then that means that the sanctuary was alive and thick. When you look at the church in the book of Acts, it was thick with the Spirit of God. That was because it was thick under the Lordship of Christ. It was thick. It says the Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind and filled the house where they were worshiping. And it said the supernatural showed up. Here's the principle. The supernatural will only show up to the level of your filling. The supernatural will only show up to the level, to your water level. If your water level is low, the presence of the supernatural will be low. If your water level is high, the experience of the supernatural will be high. I want water to flow from Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship eastward. I don't want anyone else to control the life pulsating presence in this community any more than us. Not because we're somebody special, it's just that there's a lot of water. And it's seeping everywhere. You know when you have an overflow in the sink, it just seeps everywhere. You can't hold it hostage. It's too much of it. He says, and the life flowed eastward, and it went toward the Dead Sea. We know he's talking about the Dead Sea because verse 11 says, but its swamps and marshes will not be fresh. They will be left for salt. That's the Dead Sea, the salty, dead, swampy water. No life, except there was life in the temple. The young man said it best. As we look forward to the future, we don't want to talk a good game. We don't just want to be able to quote scripture and say this is what the Bible says, as important as that is. We want to talk about not only what the truth of God says, but the experience of that truth in the life of this house where the water is high. It's the difference between hearing a doctor say you're pregnant, if you're a lady, and seeing an ultrasound picture of the baby. One sounds good, but to look at it, that's a whole nother ball game. You can come here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and it sound good. It's a whole different ball game when you get to see the picture. The water flowed, and it flowed from the sanctuary. That meant it flowed from their worship. That's why I like Zechariah 14, 17. God says, where there is no worship, there'll be no rain. Authentic, God-honoring, God-following, submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ worship. Church, God has brought us a mighty long way. We started with 10 people in our house and a dream. That's all we had. We had 10 people in a dream. Didn't have any money. Didn't have any space to meet in. All we had were 10 people and a dream. We have seen God's goodness, and to God be the glory. Glad to be part of the team, but to God be the glory. We've seen his goodness. But 140 acres of land, probably $35 to $40 million worth of building, doesn't mean a hill of beans if there is no water. See, the temple only mattered because the glory of the Lord entered it. Where there was no glory, all you had was a building to meet in. Where there is no water, there is no life pulsating presence of people submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. What good in a ball game is having nice uniforms, a brand new arena, if you lose all the time? You're just a good-looking loser. What good is a nice church, a nice education center, the future outreach center, all the things that we dream of, if there's no water? There's nothing to flow. Look at what we're told in verse 9 and verse 12. It will come about. Every living creature that swarms in every place where the river goes will live, and there will be very many fish, for these waters go there. The fresh water goes to the stale water, and others become fresh. In other words, where it's not fresh, it becomes fresh because the water flowing from the sanctuary infiltrates the Dead Sea. He puts it this way in verse 12, and by the river on its banks, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows where? From the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves were healing. Guess what he says? When the water flows from the sanctuary, life will breed where death used to rule. Whoa. You know what that means in terms of the church? It means this community should be alive. It has nothing to do with what the politicians are doing. It has nothing to do with what the sociologists are doing. It has nothing to do with what the business people are doing. It has to do with water leaving the sanctuary. It ought to be a pulsating place to live and work and raise a family, because we are discipling the church to impact the world. We're not just doing it for ourselves. On the Day of Atonement, God says when the Day of Atonement took place, Leviticus 25, God would restore the land, set free the slaves, remove the debt. He said there would be transformation in society when people met at the Day of Atonement. In other words, when the sanctuary was alive, it showed up everywhere. I'm often asked, why have we purchased so much land? My first answer is, we're not finished yet. We're not finished yet. Because to get the land means to control what happens on it. But we want water to flow there. We want the sanctuary to influence the economic development that we want to bring to this area. We want water to flow across the street as we educate the kids and bring in the teenagers and work with the families and meet the needs of the poor and help get people off of welfare. We want there to say, there is water coming out of that church. Life pulsating, life-giving water. When you light a fire in a fireplace, it's not just to heat the fireplace, it's to heat the room. We want to light a fire of disciples here full of the Spirit so we can set aflame the community that God has called us to serve. We want water, we want heat, we want bread in this place. Why can evil proliferate as men move eastward? Because there's no water coming out of the sanctuary. In fact, let me make one closing point here. He says when the water began to flow, verse 3, it reached the ankles. He says at the end of verse 3. But then he says in the middle of verse 4, then it got knee-high. Then he said at the end of verse 4, it reached the loins, the waist area. Then he says in verse 5, I could swim in that bad boy. It's over my head. In fact, he says the water coming out of the sanctuary became a river. Oh my goodness. That's a whole bunch of water. Starting at the ankle, moving to the knee, moving to the loins. Now you can do your freestyle in it. He says it kept gushing and gushing and gushing and gushing. It took over. It took over the Dead Sea, and it brought all the life that was in the water to the Dead Sea, so that now the Dead Sea is swarming with fish like the Great Sea, he says, which is the Mediterranean Sea. He says it began to look like the Mediterranean with all the life flowing from the sanctuary. You talk about being part of something exciting. You talk about being part of something that matters. You talk about being part of something that's distinct. You measure the impact of a bomb by ground zero. Ground zero is the place where it hit. And then you measure from ground zero how far out its impact has been felt. You can always know how spiritually alive the church is by measuring its impact from ground zero. Where we gather is ground zero. If you want to know how big a Holy Ghost bomb hit ground zero, Pac will tell you what kind of bomb you got at ground zero. I don't want it said when we all end our lives here that there was an explosion at ground zero, but nothing else shook. Nothing else was rattled. Nothing else was affected. So we want to disciple the church to impact the world. We want water to flow. We want it to flow in you and through you, but in us and through us. Our vision is simple. We're never going to be stagnant. We're never going to be stagnant. You can't be stagnant and water flow. If you're stagnant, you're another dead sea. You know, you don't need more dead seas. You need water to flow. We've laid out before our leaders a 12-year vision. I've looked and basically said that for the next 12 years, God give me life, and the Lord inspires the saints to support the vision. This is what we want to see. If God ignites a fire in you so that you become part of the flow through the use of your time, through the use of your talents, and through the unselfish generosity of your treasures, our commitment is to make sure that the water flows to benefit others. How many bowlers do we have here? Any bowlers in the house? Pretty good number, bowlers. You know how you measure a good bowler? By their impact. Having nice form is okay. Having well-shined shoes is okay. Having a nice, smooth, shiny ball with three holes is okay. Having the right stance, having the right approach, is okay. There's a place for shiny shoes. There's a place for a shiny ball. There's a place for the right pants. But what good is shiny shoes, a shiny ball, and the right twist and spin if it's in the gutter? What good is it? You can have a person with dirty shoes and a dirty ball who has an unorthodox style, but if they take down all 10 of those pins every time, that's the man. Because success is measured by impact. What good is a church or 6,000 members or an education building or a great vision if there is no impact? There must be water in the house that fills the house, that impacts the world. We are to disciple the church to impact the world. We're inviting you to join us in the vision, to make it part of your vision, to not come and sit in your theater seat, eat your popcorn, and ask, what's the show today? But to say, I want to be part of that life-receiving, life-giving, life-sharing transformation. That is our dream, our vision. That's water in the house going east to make dead things live. And all God's people said, amen.